say this as we go through here and continue this morning looking at this, that I know a lot of folks that take a different view of studying the Bible when it comes to this particular subject that we're dealing with. And I have some very good friends that even preach here from time to time that do not look at it exactly the same as we do, and or as I do, and that's fine. When we get to heaven, we'll find out that there was a lot of stuff that we weren't exactly right on. I personally believe the Bible's laid out this way, and it makes the most sense when studying. I believe it's all laid out this way. So, there was a time earlier on in my ministry where I was back and forth on it because some of those men were so convincing that they didn't believe this. They believed it a little bit different way on how to view the Bible, and that they were godly men. They're good men, and they still are. And but they were so convinced of it as a young man, I said, well, I might be wrong. So I began to study and pray, and this is the outcome I came back to. So, again, I just wanted to say that before we get started this morning. All right, and so we're looking at how to study the Bible, and our text verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study this, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he tells you to study, and then he tells you how to study. And so we began to make divisions last week based off of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And we looked at some examples of divisions to be made in the Bible. And first of all, most everybody acknowledges the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a division that everybody needs to make. Amen. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. We looked at the fact that the New Testament begins in Matthew 27:50 with the death of a testator. Jesus Christ died in Matthew 27:50. That's when he gave up the ghost. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 through 17 tells us that until the testator dies, there cannot be a new testament. And so we looked at those verses. And then we looked at another simple division that can be made in Scripture: past, present, and future, times past, but now, ages to come. And when you're studying your Bible, you can easily divide those up by the books of Romans through Philemon. Those are books that Paul wrote to the church. That's the but now. Everything before Romans is times past, and everything after the book of Philemon is ages to come. Those are three simple divisions to look at when you're studying. Again, you know, whenever you start doing this, people think that you're trying to cut out portions of Scripture. I'm not cutting out any Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right, for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and righteousness, and all those things. So I'm not cutting out any of that stuff. It's all needed. And there's things that Paul taught the church that have been doctrinal truths ever since the Garden of Eden and are still doctrinal truths through the end of the book of Revelation. Yep. There's things that he taught and preached. For example, earlier in the year in January, I went over a whole series on Christians and clothing and how they're supposed to dress. And people say, well, that's an Old Testament doctrine that's found in Deuteronomy, that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and so forth. But I showed that was a doctrine back in the garden. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, when they realized they had sinned, they went and clothed themselves. And the way that they chose to clothe themselves was not good enough for God. God said, no, that's not good. Then he made them some clothes. So they started off that way. And then we find that all through the Bible. And even in the book of Revelation, we find clothing and the way that God wants somebody clothed. So that's all through there. And Paul deals with modest apparel. There's different doctrines found throughout Scripture. Faith is found all the way through Scripture. You see grace all the way through Scripture. There's different things like that. So past, present, and future is another division that could be made. And then specifically speaking, we started talking about dispensations, all right? That's a Bible word. It's found four times in your Bible. It's found in 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 1:10, Colossians 1:25, and Ephesians 3:2. And each one of those four is talking about God dispensing to Paul a stewardship of the time and the age in which we live in right now. The gospel of the grace of God, all right? And so we looked at the fact that the word dispensation means the management of a household or of household affairs, specifically the management or oversight or administration of others' property. So God has always had a man or a group of men throughout a time period that he has held responsible and left the responsibility to for that time, all the way through there. Who was the very first one? Adam, good job. All right. Y'all awake this morning? Amen. All right. the office or of a manager, overseer, a stewardship. That's what this word dispensation is. Administration, a dispensation. All right. And so I looked at last week how there's different views of how many dispensations or time periods are found in the Bible. Some teach 5, 7, 10. And I'm going to look at a view of 10, but some of the ones that teach the 5 or 7 are not necessarily wrong. They just include some that I expanded out, and I'll show you why later on why I did that. They include them like, for instance, I have Christ's earthly ministry as a separate time period, even though his earthly ministry is still considered to be under the law. But there's verses that tell us that something changed. Up until this time, it was the law and the prophets. But now you have Christ and disciples, and they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and John's baptism comes in, something changed. So even though it's still considered to be a part of the law and a part of the Old Testament, something changed. And so we have that as a separate dispensation. Some people take the tribulation, the millennium, and eternity, and they loop all that into one time period, the end times. But there's different things that take place, so I broke those out into three different ones. So those are just some examples of, if you hear somebody say 5 or 7 or 10, they might all be right. And then they might all be wrong. I don't know. Depends on how they teach it. Amen. All right. So the first five dispensations or time periods in the Old Testament are clearly seen by the covenants. All right. They're clearly seen. Most of y'all already have these notes. And we're just running back through here. The covenants. And here's the names of those first five. Innocency. That's what we'll call the first one. That's Adam and Eve in the garden. Before they partook of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They were innocent. They were just like a child that didn't know right and wrong. And that's the state that they were in. So that was the first time period. And they were told they could eat of any tree of the garden except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the only one they were told they couldn't eat. There was also a tree of life there that they could have partook of. And that tree of life will show up later on again. So, innocency. And then the second time period, there was a change. There was a change in God's program, in His setup, when they partook of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. At that time, they received a conscience. And we find out in Romans chapter 2 that when they received that conscience told them what was right and wrong. That was a God-given conscience to them that they received. And so now, it's not just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they have that God's commandment there, but now they also have instructions from the conscience God gave them, what's right and wrong. Same thing with a child. We talked about that before, that a child, when they get to that age of accountability, they all of a sudden understand what is right and wrong. They go to do something, and something inside of them says, hey, don't do that. What is that? That's a God-given conscience. Now, as they get older, that conscience gets seared. And they, here in the Old Testament, when they receive that conscience, they begin to do everything their heart imagined that was wicked. Their heart was wicked. They begin to do all kind of wicked things. And then we find where Cain killed Abel, and time goes on, people are doing wicked things. They're not obeying their God-given conscience. So then God established this thing of human government. And He put that into place. He said, so now you have your conscience, now you got human government, and you're to govern one another. Well, then they decide to all get together and build a Tower of Babel. And they stopped governing themselves. And so God then began to make a promise. All right. He called out Abraham, and he began to make promises, and he called out a people. So now you got all these people that were around. They're doing all these wicked things. Well, God decided to call out a nation. Abraham was the father of the Jews. He's going to call out a nation, and that those people will be His people. He wants everybody to be His people, right? But they're doing wicked, so He finds a man, Abraham, who's a righteous man, and the Bible talks a lot about Abraham's faith, and God calls him out and says, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And from that point on, God deals with the nation of Israel, all right? His time period, His stewardship, His dispensation, His plan changed. You say, did God change His mind? No, God knew all this stuff was going to happen. And man is without excuse, right? They've had every opportunity. So he calls out the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. They're going to be his people. All right, so we see the promise. God tells them that there's going to be a promised land. He wants his people in this specific land here on this earth that is flowing with milk and honey. He wants them in that land, and he's going to bless them. He gave them that land, and there's been a fight over that land ever since. It's still going on today. And so God wanted that to be the case. Well, they didn't stay in the land. God put them there, and they didn't stay there. And as we think about these things, I don't know about in your mind, but in my mind, I think about all the things that God's done for us, but yet we still wander off sometimes. Children of Israel did it. And so they wandered off. So God raised up Moses. They end up in Egypt, and they end up in bondage. They were not supposed to stay in Egypt. They were supposed to go down there, get help during the famine. God organized all that. God sent Joseph down there. God knew what was going on when Joseph ended up being enslaved and ended up taken captive and put in prison, all those things. All that was to sustain God's people through the famine. But then they were never supposed to stay. But they stayed a whole lot longer than they should have. And then there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. He didn't know the whole story of Joseph. And so they're making a make brick and all these things. God raises up Moses to take his people, the Jews, out of there. Well, he gets them out of there, and he made them a promise. That's the fourth dispensation. And then now he gets Moses, they get him out of there, and God takes him up to Mount Sinai and gives him the law. And so that's the fifth. So something's changed. They didn't have a written law before that point. So it can't be the same. Something changed. God gave him a law. And we'll look at those verses as time allows and show you how God gave them a contract. He said, if you do this, I'll do this. And the people said, we'll do it. So now they're governed by their conscience, the example of the garden, human government, a promise that God gave them, and now the law. But something changed. All right? They didn't keep that law. The sixth is an extension of the Old Testament, and it covers Christ's earthly ministry. We know that there was 400 years of silence before John the Baptist came stumbling out of the wilderness, a wild, hairy man eating locust and wild honey and all those things. Well, he shows up, and he's preaching the kingdom. He's preaching that Christ has come, and Christ comes, born of a virgin. We're celebrating that this time of year. And so the sixth is an extension of the Old Testament, the extension of the law, and it covers Christ's earthly ministry, and we're going to just call that one the ministry of Israel. Ministry of Israel. It's not just Christ. The disciples are also preaching this gospel of the kingdom, and it's something different than what they had had. Many times they're arguing with Pharisees and these people that they knew the law, but they missed all the prophetic references to Christ coming. Because Christ showed up and the disciples and Jesus said, hey, what we preached about is here. But they still wanted to keep on just living the law like he was coming later. They're like, hey, I'm here. And then they thought Christ was blaspheming because he compared himself with the Father. And they messed up. But something was different. Now Jesus was here. Now the disciples were preaching. So the sixth is an extension of the Old Testament. It covers the earthly ministry of Christ. So why are you going over all this? We're talking about how to study the Bible. And it's good for you to understand where you're reading in Scripture and what time period that covers. So you can understand what's coming. You can understand where you're at. And then when you're studying your Bible and you come across verses, you're saying, man, I'm saved, but this verse says I have to do this to be saved. You can say, oh, wait a minute. That's not found between Romans and Philemon. So I at least can make that distinction. And then as you grow in Scripture and as you begin to study, you'll understand, oh, that was in Christ's earthly ministry, and it was to the Jews. Amen. Go sell all that thou hast, and you may inherit eternal life. That verse is in the Bible, but it's not to you. And so as you begin to study and understand these things, you can see a clear picture of what God's doing here. And again, we as a church don't need to be so narrow-minded in the Scripture to think that everything in this Bible is for us or belongs to us or we've replaced Israel. We haven't. The majority of your Bible is a Jewish book.
Yep.
God called out Abraham, and from that point forward, he dealt with the nation. And not to burst your bubble, but we get in by the grace of God to make the Jews jealous.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I've said this before, that we're the, you know, we're the girlfriend to make the wife, the ex-wife jealous. Amen. God is currently divorced from the nation of Israel.
Amen.
And he is calling out a bride for his son, Jesus Christ, and that's us, that's the church. But all this is to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. And when we're raptured out, God's going to go right back to dealing with the nation of Israel. The church will be gone. We're in this little short but now period. And once that's over, God's going to go right back to dealing with the nation of Israel. And so when we see that God deals differently in different time periods, it shouldn't boggle our mind. God's got a program for the nation of Israel. And he's going to get them to the point where he will be their God and they will be his people. That's what he's always wanted. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. The tribulation time period is a time of judgment for the nation of Israel. And so the sixth is the earthly ministry of Israel. All right, now this is where we left off. All right, and I asked folks if they were okay with me writing some of this stuff out, if it actually helped or if it hurt. And some of them said it helped, but it hurt their head because I couldn't spell very well. So I'll try to do better on that, all right? And I was sitting there thinking when I was let know that I spelled a few words wrong, it's like I copied them right from this paper, and then later on I was like, dummy, you wrote the paper. So... And I probably wrote this paper close to 10 years ago, and my version of Word at the time did not do a very good job of correcting the spelling, okay? All right, now it does too good of a job. Every time I type the word Lord, it changes it to aloes. I have no clue. I sometimes I'll say, praise the Lord, and I'll hit send. And next thing you know, people are like, who's this aloes that we're serving? Because I didn't look at it. Praise the aloes, so... All I can figure is Apple is anti-God. So, all right, so the seventh, which also we're not going to get into numerology right now, but is the number of perfection. All right, seven covers the time period of the church age, all right? It's right now, so...